Joining us is Patrick Henry Bass, senior editor for Essence magazine. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning.
So this announcement of the Nobel Prize in Literature for Yosa, was that a surprise or is he maybe a shoo-in?
Oh, he wasn't a shoo-in. The shoo-in was going to be Adonis from Syria. And the Nobel judges always like to pull the rug from underneath obscure authors like Adonis. The other long shot was Ngugi wa Thiong'o of Kenya.
Okay.
Who had been mentioned a lot because the Nobel Committee wanted to move outside of Europe this year.
But I
love this choice.
Well, they did. They moved to
Peru. Did very well with this.
But since we're speaking, as John said, about authors who maybe write about politics as well, let's move on to our topic for today.
I mean, are you looking at Atlas Shrugged now and saying, she told you?
I am a big fan of Ayn Rand. I've read all of her novels.
The economic catastrophe that we're witnessing now parallels very much the catastrophe in the book.
But no, I was not named after Ayn Rand, although I do have a great deal of respect for her.
That is the voices of Glenn Beck, Yaron Brook of the Ayn Rand Institute on Fox News, and Rand Paul during one of his video casts. The reason we're hearing them is because Atlas Shrugged is one of the books that many people who are associated with the Tea Party point to as influencing their political philosophies. Widely celebrated by Tea Party leaders, her novels, Ayn Rand's novels, have become kind of a centerpiece of Tea Party philosophy. But what does the Tea Party see in these books, and why are they reading them? Here to answer that again, Patrick Henry Bass, our friend, senior editor at Essence magazine. Help us understand, first of all, the place that Atlas Shrugged holds and how its philosophies perhaps mirror the philosophies of the Tea Party.
Talk about going from the sublime to the ridiculous in terms of Yosa to the Tea Party's literary canon. Ayn Rand, what's interesting about this Ayn Rand revival is she was popular about 25 years ago with Reagan. You know, Alan Greenspan loved her. And so what you're finding with...
Alan Greenspan
was a personal friend.
Yes. And so what you find with... what you're finding with the Tea Party canon is you have books like Ayn Rand that have gained popularity, but really with the singular person, this is more about Glenn Beck than it is the Tea Party members. When you see most political fringe movements, people are always holding up some type of literature, whether it's a newspaper, whether it was like the Masses with John Reed and the Communist Party, whether it was Alexander Hamilton's newspaper during the Federalist Party,
the Turner Diaries for the Aryan Nation,
absolutely. Right? But when you look at a Tea Party rally, what you see is more propaganda in terms of visuals, posters. Now, I think Glenn Beck closely identifies with Atlas Shrugged because you have a crusader, the striker, who becomes this charismatic leader who is seen as a genius. You know, and so in so many ways, it mirrors who Glenn Beck thinks he is
or wants to be.
Or wants to
short
be
short guy
but,
calling himself Atlas.
But he's actually tall.
Really?
But if you do a deeper dive into Ayn Rand and the philosophy of her objectivism, it runs counter to many of the philosophies that the Tea Party patriots allegedly have.
Well, we should say a lot of Tea Party members point to Glenn Beck as one of their icons, but he himself says he doesn't have any connection with the Tea Party.
I want to be clear about that, but I also want to say, just in terms of looking through the canon of the Tea Party, it's not unlikely to find all types of people like Hayek to Bazooka Joe. I mean, it's all over the place in terms of who people are inspired
by.
Well,
let's talk about Hayek, because this is another one of the books on your Tea Party reading list, The Road to Serfdom. Why this one?
The Road to Serfdom is another book that has a revival every 20 years or so. Hayek actually wrote this book as a counter to Nazism. He's quite concerned about Nazism, and he's been misinterpreted. And I would say that he's been misinterpreted by the Tea Party members who are espousing the virtues of the book today. It's a tract against socialism and the welfare state, but to make it a conservative treatise is not right in terms of what he was trying to advocate in terms of the book, because he wrote in a famous essay in 1960 that he didn't consider himself a conservative. So many conservative members of the Tea Party patriots are claiming a book in which he's essentially refuting what it is that they're espousing.
Well, speaking of older historic documents that may be misinterpreted for political gains, you've also listed the Federalist Papers. And this is, I mean, the Tea Party movement has sometimes been described as a sort of a nostalgic movement. And certainly all of this literature you've mentioned so far, these were not published recently.
Right. And the Tea Party is also lacking original thought. If you look at the Federalist Paper, the ideas that they espouse were quite original. While John Reed and the members of the Communist Party USA, well, they of course had Marxism, they took those ideas and moved them further. What you're looking at with the Tea Party canon is neo-libertarianism, and I would say that the worst mangling of the libertarianism message is through the Federalist Papers, which were authored by Alexander Hamilton, John Jay, and John Adams. I mean, so you're talking about some real thinkers here. And what's ironic about about Alexander Hamilton's connection to the Federalist Papers is he founded the New York Post, which
and advocated a central bank,
which is supported by Rupert Murdoch, who owns Fox News, where Glenn Beck, who says I'm with the Tea Party ish kind of, but I'm not a member of the Tea Party Patriots. So it's still connected after all these years.
To be fair, though, political philosophy is not generally often the most original. I mean, when you look at the books that people point to as influencing their political politicians, it's not always.
The Federalist Papers still has resonance. I mean, the Supreme Court has cited the Federalist Papers in at least 300 judgments that they've done.
Well, because they're a record of original intent of the framers.
Absolutely. Sure. You know, and the Communist Party USA fringe as it was, many of the ideals that they espoused, you know, we could still see people responding to them. And with Hayek, what's critical here is that he was anti the New Deal. And David Koch, you know, the multi-billionaire has had a long history of despising the New Deal. And many people assert that what the Tea Party Patriots are really doing is backing up David Koch's agenda to unravel many of the gains made through the New Deal.
Well, if you want to better understand the Tea Party, or maybe you're a member yourself, you can check out this reading list at our website, thetakeaway.org. Thanks so much to Patrick Henry.
And don't forget about Bazooka Joe. That's also very critical for the Tea Party Patriots.
Senior editor for Essence Magazine. We actually got a comment from one of our listeners. Barbara suggests that you read either Overthrow, America's Century of Regime Change from Hawaii to Iraq by Stephen Kinzer. That influences her. Or a perennial favorite, A People's History of the United States by Howard Zinn.
How would you knit your movement together? What books would you use to create the manifesto for your own movement if it wasn't the Tea Party?
I start with Mad Magazine.
All right. Mad Magazine. You have no chance at the Nobel next year. You just blew it there, Patrick. Supreme Court heard all the arguments in the case of Snyder versus Phelps, in which the father of a fallen Marine is suing Fred Phelps' Westboro Baptist Church for protesting his son's funeral in 2006. This is on our website from thetakeaway.org. Fred Phelps' son, Nate. I've been asked by a lot of people what I think about this case against my father. My own opinion on this matter flows from the certainty that no founding father could have imagined ever having to deal with people standing outside a funeral taunting the family and loved ones of a deceased. What do you think at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post to our site, thetakeaway.org? I'm John Hockenberry.
I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.